Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand have provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Thank you, Lord.
And whether you feel it or not. And you know, sometimes you go through seasons where you're like, God, you promised you'd be faithful. He is a gift. But wait for it. Jesus, please work. Nice machine.
Technology, you love it or you hate it. Most of the time, I love it. Oh, God is faithful. He is going to be faithful to every single promise that he has made. Every single one. Because the scripture says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So he is faithful, faithful God. Do we have any testimonies today? What has God been up to in your life? Come on, guys, don't leave me hanging. I know God has been moving. I ask questions like that in my classroom, and then I just stand there and I wait. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Lots of you have been praying for us, for the work that we've been doing at my mother-in-law's house. The good news is the house is closed and the house sold and the check is in the bank. Glory be to God. Glad to see that chapter close and another one open. So God is good. Anybody else? I hate to move on too quickly. I feel like I'm really loud. Is this thing still on? No, it's just me. Yeah, I'm feeling like, I, by the way, in case you wondered, I'm also the sound man. So if any of you see me doing this and you think, oh, I'd love to help Pastor Dave with the sound. Oh, Pastor Dave would love to have you help. That would be great. I have to figure out where everything is. That's the problem. Okay, can you still hear me? Okay, maybe not quite so ringy. All right, well, glory to God. I was thrilled to see Dean and Cherry here today. Yay, make sure that you get a chance to say hi to them. They don't leave without getting a hug from everybody, or at least a greeting. So Dean continues to serve and be faithful in the church. Did you know that? You live how far away now? About 5 hours away, and he's still working in the church. He takes all of our recordings, he puts them up, he edits them, he puts them on the website, he helps edit our stuff, so he continues to be a faithful servant 5 hours away. We so appreciate it, Dean, thank you. It's a delight to have you and Cherry here. Glory be to God. Okay, so we'll move on today, and I want to discuss something with you today that, I feel like I've really had to live this a lot in my life recently. And it is, you can go ahead and bring my, it's down there somewhere. Servanthood. You'll notice the little bucket there. with a towel, and you can guess if you've been around the church for very long what that's referring to, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the concept of servanthood is one that is starkly missing in our society. What we have in place of servanthood is entitlement. It is not, what can I do for others? What can others do for me? Me, 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 me. All three of us, me, myself, I, me, need, you do for me. And if you don't do for me, I am going to scream and yell until you do. Have you witnessed that in our society? That the whole concept of the incredible spirit of selfishness, it just descended in such a way, and when people don't get what they want, they start yelling and screaming. Oh my goodness. Because there is no argument, there is no defense, so what you're left with is just have a fit. If you yell and scream loud enough, someone will get tired of it and give you what you want. And unfortunately, sometimes that works. It's a very sick, sad kind of way. But entitlement and selfishness is the opposite of the nature of Christ. It's the absolute polar opposite of what Jesus was, what he is, and what he calls us to be. And I want to take a really good look at that today. And I have, as always, I have a boatload of scriptures to look at. Matthew 20, 20 through 28. I find this story to be absolutely uproariously humorous. I find it to be very funny. Then the mother, notice it's not Zebedee's sons. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and knelt down to make a request of him. What do you want? He inquired. She answered, declare that in your kingdom, notice, she's not asking, she says, declare. I want you to do this. Declare that in your kingdom, one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right hand and the other at your left. And Jesus looks at her and says, you don't know what you are asking. But see, James and John, they decided to bring out the big guns. Yeah, they're going to call in the big guns. They're going to send their ambitious Jewish mama. She's coming in, man, and she's going to ask for what she wants. I want my boys here to have this, and they want to get something. And what are they looking for? They're looking for the most prestigious position in heaven, to sit at the right and the left of Jesus in his kingdom. Whoa! And Jesus looks at them and says, you who don't know what you are asking. Oh, you don't know what you're asking. And then he asks a very telling question. Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink? What is he talking about? The cup of suffering. So the thing Jesus comes and says is, you want something big. Are you ready to pay the price? Ladies and gentlemen, there's always a price. There is always a price to be paid. Thank God Jesus paid the price for our sins. But in our walk with him, there is always going to be a price to be paid for those who want to follow really closely. You want to follow closely with Jesus. It's wonderful, but there is a price to be paid. And he said, are you willing? Can you drink the cup I'm going to drink? And they very glibly said, oh yeah, we can do it. They hadn't got a clue what they were saying yes to. It was the faintest idea. We can. The brothers said, yeah, sure, we can do it. the sons of thunder, right? You will indeed drink my cup. He's like, yep, okay, you're going to do it. But I can't promise you the reward. But to sit on my right or left hand is not mine to grant. These seats belong to those for whom my Father has prepared them. Oh boy. So they're looking for something really prestigious, and Jesus says, well, what you really need to do is you need to walk with me and be willing to go through what I go through. Be willing to do it. Jesus reminds them then that it's God's choice, but then what happens? The other disciples hear about it and they are hopping mad. It's when the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Boy, is that a whitewash in our modern translation. It's the Greek word agenakteo. It means to be angry or incensed. They were furious and grieved. And why? Because, those guys, essentially they're saying, those guys, they think they're better than us. They're going to get the best position. Oh, boy. I'm going to jump ahead for just a minute. Whoops. To Mark 9:33-35. Then they came to Capernaum. While Jesus was in the house, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? Uh-oh. They didn't want to say a word. Then you talk about awkward silence. This is a really awkward silence. But on the way, they had been arguing about which of them was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the last of all and the servant of all. Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to go back. Jesus tells James, after the other disciples are all incensed, because probably each of them wants to be the greatest, and Jesus is like, servant people is what you need. But Jesus called them aside and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their superiors exercise authority over them. It shall not be this way among you. Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's a pretty strong word, slave. Do you think that Jesus is telling us to be enslaved to other people? That's really not what that word means literally in the Greek. In verse 27, the word slave there literally means to be devoted to another person to the disregard of one's own personal interests. Let me say that again. The word slave there, being a slave, it means to be devoted to others at the disregard of your own personal interests. Does that give a better picture of that kind of service? It's not talking about enslavement, but it is talking about devotion and service. But the disciples, they were probably mad that they didn't think about asking to sit on the right hand or the left hand before James and John did. I don't know. There's obviously a competitive spirit here that Jesus is addressing. Competition really has no place in the kingdom of God. Let's see. Let's move on. John 13:12-15. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he reclined with them again and asked, do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. This was a custom. What Jesus is not telling us that this is a new sacrament, that when we come together on Sunday, we should get together and wash each other's feet. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying, the custom was when you arrived at someone's house, there was water there, and usually a servant, some lowly servant would come out, you know, and they would wash your feet and clean it up because it was dusty and dirty, and they wore sandals, and they didn't have shoes like we had. And they would get cleaned up before they came into the house, and then the servant would run away. But not considered a very high place. I'm going to tell a story on Brother Tom in men's Bible study. I tell it because it so resonated with me. He said, oh, foot washing, I'm just really not, you know, it was a custom back then. And he said, well, you know, I'll be your servant. I'll come help you. If your car breaks down, I'll come and help you. Or if this happens, you need help, I'll do this and that, but you can keep your feet to yourself. And I was like, amen. I am totally agreement. So if you ever suddenly feel overwhelmed with the desire to serve your pastor and you want to wash my feet, please think of something else. Yeah, I'm just not into it. But what Jesus is saying is, you want to be great, then get down and do the dirty work. Get down and be the one that helps other people, that does the job that people say, oh, that's beneath you. No. Was it beneath Jesus? What lower job could Jesus have demonstrated to them? I'm trying to think of one. Than to get down on the ground and wash he's the rabbi and the teacher and the miracle worker, and he's down on the ground washing their feet. Ew. I mean, I can't think of a lower position than that. And he said, nothing, if you're going to be a servant, nothing should be beneath you in the service of your brothers and sisters. And you know, we may have gifts, we may have callings, but sometimes we're just called to help, to serve. Maybe we're setting up for a fellowship and we need help with tables. Maybe there's just things in the natural. There's just things. Sometimes we just jump in and serve, and nothing can be beneath us or should be considered beneath us. The greatest calling we can have is to serve other people. Why is that? Why is it that the greatest calling you can have is to serve other people? Because that's what Jesus did. That is everything that he did. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. We've been referencing this, I think, the last two, three messages I've preached, but it keeps coming back. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. What did he empty himself of? His godly and divine privilege, his godly rights. He was God. He could do anything, everything. He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The greatest service. And so that would teach us that the greatest service we can do is to follow in his steps, be willing to serve others. John 15, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. So we're called to servanthood. We're called to be those who serve others. How on earth do we do that? How do we walk in servanthood? How do we do it? What are the nuts and bolts of it? Well, I can give you some ideas. This is by no means comprehensive, but I want to give you some thoughts and ideas on servanthood. Number one, the biggest thing I can think of is the willingness to walk through whatever. The willingness to walk through whatever you got to walk through and walk it through with others. Willingness to do it, whatever it is, whatever, and it could get pretty stinking messy. James and John wanted the glorious position, but they did not want the cup of shame. They wanted the crown, but they didn't want to go to the cross. You know, before Jesus got to his glory, he had to go through the cross. And a servanthood, number one, means a willingness to walk through and be faithful to walk through whatever. And I use the word whatever because only God can fill in that blank for you in your life. What are you willing to walk through for other people? Willing to do it. We've certainly kind of walked through that in our own family situation. Just have to be willing to walk through whatever. And those of you who have been close to me, you kind of know what we're talking about. I'm not going to go into that. But Jesus walked through the valley of death for us, and we're called to walk that walk with others. And it may involve things that are uncomfortable. It may involve suffering. It may involve long suffering. That lovely word, long suffering, which most of your Bibles now say is patience. But I like the term long-suffering because it means you have to suffer long. Sometimes you have to put up with stuff and keep your mouth shut. Oh, that's the hardest part, sometimes keeping your mouth shut. Oh, but Jesus gave his life for unthankful, ungrateful people. There was no thanks in it, and yet he was willing to walk through it. We who are strong ought to bear with the shortcomings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. It says Christ did not live to please himself. I think I skipped a scripture I wanted to look at, Romans 5:8. But God proves his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. Nobody came to Jesus when he was on the cross and says, oh, thank you, Jesus, for doing this. It was the nasty, screaming, horrible crowd, and yet he died with them. Now, this doesn't mean that we just freely allow ourselves to be taken advantage of. You know, we don't do that, but it's important to understand that. Oh, I'm going to move on. 1 Peter 2:21. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his footsteps. Suffering and servanthood. Sorry to say it, but they seem to go hand in hand. And Jesus didn't have one without the other. And so we probably aren't going to have one without the other. I don't know what that means for you, but are you willing to walk through whatever? And are you willing to walk through whatever with other people? Sometimes it's hard enough to walk through your own stuff, and then you got to come alongside somebody else and help them walk through their stuff. And it's hard. Sometimes you don't want to do it. But God calls us to serve them. Number two, a willingness to serve with no quid pro quo. If you've been involved in the political realm, you've heard that term a whole bunch. Quid pro quo, or in other words, tit for tat, or I do something for you and you do something for me. There's something reciprocal in it. Jesus is calling us to have a willingness to serve with no quid pro quo. You know, it's so tempting to do something for someone else with an expectation of something in return. Even if it's just, a thank you. You know, crazy as it might sound, I have found myself at times, most of the time not, but sometimes I have gone out of my way to help people do stuff for them, and they just take it and they're like, and they walk away. And I find myself annoyed, like, oh, okay, so you can't even say thank you? And the Lord spoke to me once and was like, did you do that for a thank you? Or did you do that for me? Oh, God. You know, in school, I teach the kids all the time. You know, they got an untied shoe. They'll walk up to me and they'll do this. And they'll stick. And I'm like, okay, let's talk about this. Why are you sticking your foot in my face? My shoe's untied. Okay, let's do this the right way. And we try to teach. I say, Mr. Williams, would you please help me tie my shoe? Mr. Williams, will you please help me tie my shoe? Yes, I would love to. You know, and we try to teach them to be, and it's important to be polite. It's important to be thankful. But what do you do when you serve somebody and you don't get that? I struggle with being really annoyed. Because I want to be appreciated. I like to be appreciated. And I like people, if I go out of my way, a thank you would be nice. What do you do if you don't get it? You serve anyway. Who thanks Jesus? Who thanks Jesus when he was on the cross? He wasn't, oh, Jesus, thank you for all your, you know. He died for unthankful, ungrateful people who had nothing to do with him and were willing. The thanks that he got was they killed him, nailed him to the cross. I mean, I know that was God's plan, but that was what Jesus did. So, ay, ay, ay. But to those of you who will listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone takes your cloak, do not withhold your tunic as well. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your best friend, which is really easy. But love your enemies. Ouch. It doesn't even say tolerate your enemies. Be patient with your enemies. It says love your enemies. Oh, without the grace of God. We have to have the grace of God to be able to really do that. Love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. No thank you. You do it, and they're like, I deserved it anyway, too bad, and off they go. You might get that. I know I have. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I don't want to be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I want to give the ungrateful and the wicked a piece of my mind. I want to tell them the way it is. Stop doing that. And the scripture teaches us that God is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. I think I just broke this thing. Oh no, the cover came off. We get excited. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Oh man. Is this not a really hard thing to learn? But it's the heart of God. It is the heart of God. Number three, serve without ambition. What is ambition? Ambition is, I had to look it up to have a really good definition. It's an ardent desire for rank, fame, or power. Matthew 6:1-6, be careful not to perform your righteous acts before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to the needy, do not sound a trumpet before them as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. Truly, I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Oh, ouch. I want people to notice what I've done. You like that? Yeah, I did that. Yeah. It was me. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Truly I tell you, they already have their full reward. But when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Oh, and that's way better than having somebody else pat you on the back and say, attaboy, or giving you a plaque or taking notice. Oh, the reward from heaven. I know I enjoy recognition. I enjoy being appreciated. But Jesus says, serve secretly. Be an undercover agent for Jesus. Be a Jesus ninja. Sneak around. You know, don't do it so that people can see you and say, oh, what a great job you did. Jesus says, yeah, well, you got your reward. I found a really interesting scripture, Isaiah 45:15. Truly, you are a God who hides himself. O God of Israel, the Savior, do you know that God does all kinds of hidden things behind the scenes? He's there, but he's the ninja. He's behind the scenes. He isn't always out front. And God's saying, that's how I want you to do. We combat ambition by giving and doing in secret. In secret. You know, back in Bible times, people were not lining up to be leaders and workers in the church. It was dangerous back then. You know, some people now are attracted to service and ministry because attached to it there's, you know, recognition and prestige and position. And it wasn't that way in the New Testament times. Some of them lost their head. They weren't really fighting for that kind of thing. Things have really kind of changed, at least in the American church. So serving in secret, at least in your heart, battles is the combat against that ugly thing of ambition that wants to be recognized. It's part of our flesh. It's there. I know it's in me. I know it's in us. But if you give in secret, that's the way to combat it. Number four, serve with dependence. This is a really important way to serve. And dependence on Jesus. We have Isaiah 42:1. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. This is the prophet Isaiah prophesying about Jesus. But what does it say? Here is my servant whom I uphold. There's an important key there. Jesus was upheld by his Father. He was dependent upon the Father. In our service, in serving others and serving Christ, we have to be utterly and completely dependent upon God. Remember, Jesus has said he emptied himself, and part of that was so that he would depend upon the Father. So there's the amazing paradox. We become empty of yourself and dependent on God, and that's when the Holy Spirit uses us. We empty so that we can have. When we get really empty and dependent on God, that's when the Holy Spirit can really use us and move through us. And it's important to lean on Jesus. Oops, I skipped a scripture. Oh, I did skip a whole bunch of scriptures. There it is. Yep, emptied himself. John 5:19. So Jesus replied, "Truly, truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself unless he sees the Father doing it. For whatever the Father does, the Son does also." Jesus had just healed a man at the pool of Bethesda. It said there was a multitude of people there, sick people. Jesus comes and heals one guy. One guy. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Jesus, you're the Messiah, you're the healer. Why didn't he come and heal all of them? But Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. I only see what I see him doing. The Lord said, go to that one. This is his time. I'm going to move on him. I'll heal his body. He will testify to the Pharisees. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. In your service, I have seen people with real servants' hearts get pulled in 15 or 20 different directions. And I bear witness to it because my mail is full. Every day I get mail asking for money for this ministry, that ministry, this every day, four or five, from all kinds of different ministries. And they're good ministries. I can't give to all of them. So I have to pray and know the mind of God. What do I do, Lord? How do I support? And in your walk with Christ, depending on Jesus, effectively serving this way to people means that you are connected this way. And you're hearing the Father's heart. And you're knowing the direction that he's calling you to. And really being dependent on him for his leading and his empowerment. Okay, we better move on. Number five, serve with empathy. Empathy is the ability to identify with or understand another's situation. Isaiah 42:3, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish. One really important part of serving others is having a heart of empathy when you see somebody in a bad way, in a bad place. You know, sometimes when we serve, we see somebody whose life is a wreck, and we want to do like the religious leader and the Levite did in the parable of the Good Samaritan, where this guy's beaten up and bruised and laying on the road, and we're like, oh, didn't see that, and walk around on the other side. But God calls us to have a heart of compassion, his heart of compassion, and empathy. The Lord's servant, this is speaking of Jesus specifically in this scripture in Isaiah, the Lord's servant is sympathetic to the weak and understanding of those who mess up. And the last thing that people, especially in the church, need if they mess up is to have your treadmarks on them. People should never, ever wear our tread marks. You know what that means? You know, in our natural mind, we want to say, well, you know, you made your bed, so go lay in it. Have you ever felt like you see somebody in a mess, it's like, well, you brought it on yourself, go deal with it. Have you ever been tempted to say something like that to somebody? I know I have. Oh, ouch. And then the Lord reminds me, okay, Dave, how many of your messes have I cleaned up for you? Sorry, Lord. You know, I don't ever want to be guilty of leaving my tread mark on somebody else. Ouch. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yeah, people make messes, but God cleans up our messes. He's faithful to do it. Willingness to walk through whatever. Willingness to serve, expecting nothing back. No quid pro quo. Serving without ambition, without desire for recognition. Serving with dependence. And then having God's heart of empathy for other people. Father, we thank you that in your kingdom we're called. You said that the first shall be last, and the last will be first. Or those who put themselves forward first will end up at the end. And the people who are willing to take the low place and to serve will end up being first. And Father, we pray that you would help us. Lord, I'm including myself and all of us here today. God, that you would help us where our heart just wants to be selfish, Lord. And Lord, we like our flesh. We like to be served and not to serve. And we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be in difficult situations and things that are hard. And we definitely don't like to have to be with difficult people. Yet Jesus did all of those things. And Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts through these things, that you would help us, first of all, to be a people who are long-suffering. Lord, in my experience, I am short-suffering. It's only by your grace, Lord, that I can be long-suffering with people who make my life hard. And I pray that you would help us as we go out into the world to show kindness to people who are not kind, show the face of Jesus to people who need to know him, and maybe have been stomped on before. Maybe their life is very hard and very bad, and they've become angry and bitter, and they need to see Jesus from somebody, not another angry word or another impatient person. Father, help us to be that smile for the person who's having a bad day. Help us to be the people that are willing to help people that nobody else wants to help. Help us to be the ones that reach out and when we don't want to do it anymore, that we die to ourselves and we do it again. Help us, Father, to be your servants. And thank you for the example of Jesus, who was willing to walk with us through whatever. And Lord, it cost him the greatest cost of anyone. Help us, Lord, today to be willing to pay the price, to be a servant. And Father, we know that you who see in secret will reward us. You are faithful, you are good, and you give grace. And Father, I pray as we get this servant's heart within us, as you develop it in greater measure, that it would be a means that people's hearts will be touched for the gospel, and that people will come to Jesus because they see the love and the compassion of God through other people. Help us, Lord. Help us to be those Christ bearers in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. If you're here and you would like prayer today, someone will be here to pray with you. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come up. We would love to introduce him to you. Really, what you have to do is be willing to repent, to turn and say, Father, I don't want to go my own way anymore. I want you to be the Lord of my life. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we would love a chance to pray for you for that empowering, healing for your body, whatever you need. And if not, God bless you. Thank you for coming today, and may you be blessed as you go this week to serve other people in Jesus' name. Thank you.